The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Do not tempt me, my friend. He is Dr. Rab Stewart. I'm Tony Curry. You just heard the computer say we are recording, and the last thing you said before we started the show this morning, which, by the way, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. We're recording a little early here on a Wednesday on the 5th. Is it the 5th of June? Yes. My son's 17th birthday is tomorrow on 6607. Xavier turns 17. But you just said you're going to Mexico for a few days, and you said, if you want to come with us. And I was like, man, dude, do not tempt me. How you doing, brother? What's up? Well, welcome in. This is the first time we've done a show this early in the morning. This is like the middle of the night for me, so this is great. I'm probably going to talk faster. Like, normally when we do shows like at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, I'm just wrapping up. I'm just getting, you know. So you're going to probably see me, you know, talking like my mouth's moving like a duck's ass this morning. It's going to be crazy.
And you look
pretty spry yourself.
I'm kind of I'm a morning person. I was up late last night. My son is wrapping up baseball, his baseball tournament. And so we were at the field and we kept getting pushed back and delayed and delayed and delayed. So we didn't even end up playing. And then we get home later than we were supposed to initially anyway. And then we got to start packing because we're taking a family trip with the kids and my wife's family. And we're all, you know, packing up and going to Mexico for a little while.
Awesome.
And my wife's family has a timeshare down there. So we're getting to go down there for a little while with them. But we were up packing till like 11. And then it hit me like, I got a show with Tony at 6 a.m. I got to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I usually get up around, when I was doing morning radio, I was getting up at 4. And then even when I wasn't doing morning radio, I was doing my own thing on Tony Curry Radio with Dr. Josh. So we were doing a morning show every morning. And so I was still getting up at 4 and I was doing show prep, and we'd hit the airway at 6 o'clock and we'd get till 9. And then things changed up a little bit when I started going to the podcast, started doing this television on ABC 30 through 40 and Fox. I no longer needed to do this morning show. I could have. But things just changed up, you know, and so now my day's kind of been moved forward a couple hours. So I'm still getting up at 4, but I don't have as much work to do early in the morning. And so, I'm having to reassess, my sleeping patterns. And it's just kind of, after 20 years, kind of throwing me off a little bit because I want to go back to sleep. But if I go back to sleep, then I wake up in Funky Town, you know, and then you wake up at, you know, 7:30 in the morning and you don't know where you're at. You're like, what just happened here? And so I like starting my day. So I've got you. I've got a doctor's appointment at 7 o'clock this morning. I have a meeting at 9:30, a lunch at 11 o'clock, and then I could take a nap later today. But well, I'm glad you're going to Mexico. Do you mind me asking where? Cabo?
It's Cabo.
Is it?
It's Cabo.
Awesome. I just talked to a very good friend of mine, Stuart Rome, who does a show with us, Win in Rome with Stuart Rome, the Woodhouse Baseball. He just got back from Cabo last week. And certainly two things you want to hit: the Giggling Marlin, which is, I don't know if you know any of these places or if you've ever been to Cabo.
I have
before.
Not been there. I haven't been to Cabo in about 10 years. Like my in-laws go every year.
Yep.
And they will always take some people. But so this year it's our turn.
It's Mexico Plus. It's not like Acapulco or any of those other places, Mexico City. You don't think you're Mexico. People aren't constantly trying to get you to buy stuff. It's upgrade big time. It's super nice. No drugs, not unless you want them, of course, but it's super nice. And of course they got the lovers arch, but they have, the Giggling Marlin, which is a place where you can, you do shots upside down. They put your legs and you got to do it one time, just one time.
Okay.
I will tell you this, it's quite painful on the ankles if you're a heavy guy. I'm 230 pounds. It hurt like hell because they put your ankles in handcuffs and they hoist you up in the ceiling and you do upside down shots.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's called the Giggling Marlin, but it's known around the world. And then of course you want to go to Sammy Hagar's place, Cabo.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I've been to Cabo Wabo. I've not been to the Giggling Marlin, so I'm going to hit that up.
Yep.
I cannot imagine doing like a shot of bourbon upside down, how bad that will burn.
Yep. It's quite painful. I remember because I was on there on my honeymoon and I'm sitting there and my wife, at the time, had just done her upside down shot and I was hanging upside down and I was watching one of the natives actually do a jello shot off my wife's stomach. while I was upside down. I was like, hey, stop that. Hey, get away from her. I just married her the night before, and there she is having some dude sucking some Jello off her belly button. I was like, okay, this is not cool.
It's indecent proposal.
It really was. I was like, dude, this is not right, man. Come on now. And then I end up buying her like a $600 piece of turquoise from someone, a little street shop, a beautiful thing that had diamonds in it. We went on a catamaran and it fell off her wrist and went straight to the bottom of the ocean.
Oh,
and God. I should have known our marriage wasn't going to last after that happened. I was like, she's like, I hope you didn't.
That was spend an
it.
Omen.
She's like, I hope you didn't spend much on that. And I said, $650.
Pricey.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So what's going on in the world of animals? I want to ask you a question. And by the way, the show is already brought to you by Ed's Pet World. They've been in business for 50 years down there in the beautiful Homewood. I got a chinchilla, by the way. My chinchilla experiment is going fantastically. This thing is so unbelievably fun. I cannot believe. I would just tell people to skip the gerbils, the guinea pigs, and the hamsters, and just move right to the chinchilla. I know it's about $350. But I mean, just get one chinchilla and it'll be the best animal you've ever had. It's a little pocket pal. If you like any animal, the more time you spend with it, the more you get out of it. Every single morning I spend about half an hour with it. I go in the bathroom with it and I put it on the floor. So I can't get out, 'cause I have two dogs, obviously. And it's got to the point now where it jumps up on the counter while I'm shaving. Watches me shave. I'm not kidding you, Rab. I'm going to bring it in. It's the coolest animal I've ever owned. It's the neatest thing. It's got such a great little personality. It knows its name is Gizmo. It knows its name. I say Gizmo, it comes walking up to me. So it is a super cool. Got it at Ed's Pet World. Of course, they also have this wonderful place called Sasquatch Toys and Comics, which is also down there in Citation Lane. They do fantastic work down there. Toys from the 60s, 70s, and 80s still in the box. If you want to buy, sell, or trade, check out Sasquatch Toys and Comics. I brought Frisco Dog in a couple weeks ago, and he was coming in from outside. I think a lot of people have this issue because my next door neighbor was telling me about it. He was coming in from outside early in the morning and then getting sick in the house. And I would pick him up, run him to the door, hear that sound he makes. And of course, he was also having this cough, which, by the way, is gone. We got rid of the cough. I came in to see you and gave him an antibiotic and also a coughing suppressant, and it worked. And I bring him in, and then I put him back outside. Then I just kept an eye on him, and he would go back outside and he would start eating more grass, which I know normally is a predictor that he's going to probably get sick. And they eat grass. Why? Because it scratches their throat, makes them want to regurgitate. Correct.
I think that it is like a form of, like, they're trying to make themselves throw up.
Yeah.
You know, almost see it as a type of emetic.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know if anybody could actually prove that.
Okay. Well, anyway, usually if your dog's eating grass, it's got a soft stomach and it's probably going to throw up on you. Or at least that's what I've seen in the past. And so it's eating grass, and I'm like, hey, don't eat that. Sometimes I see him rub his face into something. He's eating something out of the ground, you know, eating dirt or something that doesn't look right. And I'm like, come on back up, and he'll come back up, and then he'll be fine for a little bit. And I can't decide whether he's getting sick because he's getting into something outside and then bringing it inside. Then he's getting sick, then I'm putting him back outside. Or am I doing the right thing? Because I feel like I'm just running him in and out right now. And he's also got the squirts. He was on an antibiotic. And that was the first question I was going to ask you. Do animals have side effects to drugs?
Yeah, they have side effects just like we do. And there's tons of them. I mean, GI side effects are the most common. Anytime you give your pet anything orally, you can cause GI problems. But I mean, there's literally a side effect for every single drug.
Okay.
If you give a drug and it's supposed to do something, well, sometimes it can do too much of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're given medications for blood pressure, it can make the blood pressure too low. If you're given medications for seizures, you can make them super lethargic. If you're given, there's some antibiotics that will cause seizures. So, you know, there's the list just, it literally goes on and on and on. And that's why our drug formularies are, you know, endless with side effects and contraindications and drug interactions and all that stuff.
Yeah. And the one thing that I noticed and your wonderful helper, you have a couple people there that work with you, so you should go to Mexico and stuff like that. She brought up that It was funny. It was funny. And I had this conversation. She said, he's really underweight. And it was almost like a pediatric doctor telling me that I wasn't feeding my child. I almost took it personal. I was like, what? She's like, he's not heavy enough. He's lost a lot of weight and he's not getting enough protein. And I said, well, I feed my dog. I got all defensive. I'm like, where's Dr. Rab? I don't want to talk to Rab. Bring him in here. You know? No, but I mean, but then I'm touching it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could see where she thinks. I mean, he's really skin and bones because I think he was 6 or 7 pounds. He's had a little Havanese. He doesn't have a lot of weight to lose. I mean, he gets sick. If he gets the flu or something like that, he's just going to be skin and bones. I mean, he's one of those dogs where one good throw up and he looks like a skeleton dog. But again, he's only eating once a day instead of twice a day. So I'm certainly bringing him back in and I know that he's in great hands with you. And it's one of those things where I think it may be that thing we talked about earlier a bit. And I should have known about the upper respiratory thing. Although the test came back negative, he had this is the strangest thing. And I was talking to a woman yesterday about it because her dog was doing the same thing. It sounds just like a human being coughing. It sounds, and you swear there's a human being behind you coughing and it's your dog. It sounds just like a human being coughing. It's wild.
You know what I think could have potentially happened. And there's more work to be done on him, obviously, because when you have a pet that has multiple symptoms with, body systems that don't really talk to each other, mm-hmm. you have a respiratory issue and you have a GI issue. Those usually aren't linked. I mean, there are some things that can link them, but it's kind of hard to figure out which rabbit we're going to chase first and which one came first. Yeah. So like I said, there's still more work to do on him, but I'm wondering if potentially he has a chronic GI issue, which is leading to vomiting and diarrhea. And he possibly threw up and aspirated a little bit of that, which could have potentially caused a lower respiratory infection, basically pneumonia. And so that's where the cough came from. And we treated the cough. That's better now, but we still probably have that primary underlying problem of a GI issue.
Well, we'll definitely bring him back in tomorrow or Friday. And I know you've got great people there working at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, rossbridgevet.com. And of course, you can also check them out on Facebook. Listen to this show at least 5 days a week here on TKR and wherever you get your favorite podcast, right here on our Tony Curry YouTube channel, which is by far the most watched platform we have. So before I brought him in, you asked me about my next door neighbor's dogs. My next door neighbors has 6 or 7 dogs. I can't keep track of it. You actually put one down several months ago, so I think it's 6. And you asked if my dog had been in contact with her dogs. Okay. Why were you asking that question? And how often do, based on your answer, do I need to be, cognizant of my animal being sufficiently around other animals and how they get sick?
Because respiratory, conditions in dogs are passed easily back and forth.
Okay.
So anytime we have a dog that comes in or a cat, but mostly dog, have a respiratory issue, we just ask, has there been any exposure to any other dogs? Because if the answer is yes, then the chances of it having a contagious respiratory issue exists. But if they say, look, I live on 10 acres and my dog doesn't go outside very often or does go outside, but there's no possible way he came in contact with another dog. Well, then a communicative respiratory disease isn't very high on the list of things that are causing the problem.
And is there pretty much if they're around another dog that is contagious, it will get sick? Or is it like a cold where a human being, you're definitely going to get it? Or is it like VD where you could go for it and you may get it, you may not?
I mean, you may get it, you may not. But there's a lot of respiratory conditions that are contagious that are highly contagious.
Yeah.
Where you only need to be within 6 feet of another dog to get it if that dog coughs or sneezes or whatever. But, dogs, they're not hygienic. They don't wash their paws. They don't cover their mouth or nose when they're snotting and snorting everywhere. So that's one of the reasons that these things are so, can be so virulent because dogs don't practice hygiene and they don't practice social distancing. Mm-hmm. So respiratory, contagious respiratory things in dogs usually spread pretty quickly and pretty easily.
Okay. This is a good question here. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We love questions about, we've had people calling about, they got to give my dog too much medication. All these questions, and we answer all your questions. And this is the first time we love relationship questions, right? Because we're really good. Vic in Hueytown says, Dr. Rab, please help. Had a date with a woman last time for the first week, and she said she needed to bring her dog with her. I thought it was okay because it was her first date. Maybe it was the first time she left her dog alone. And then we went out again two nights later. She brought her dog with her again. And I was kind of like, okay, what's the deal? And she basically said, wherever I go, my dog goes with me. She's really hot. What should I do?
Okay.
It's a tough question, brother.
All right. So if I was hoping that it was going to be a date where they were going to a park, or some, hey, I want to bring my dog, we're in a park, let's bring my dog and have a good time. Doesn't sound like that's the case. So the guy's name is Vic.
Yeah.
So it's Vic. So I would tell Vic to be, I would be cautiously optimistic. If she's hot, I would give her a little grace.
Okay.
You know, there is that crazy hot matrix thing that we have talked about on the show before.
So spot on.
And it's just, I'm going to give you an analogy. If you have a, if you're a professional athlete, if you're the owner of a pro team and you have a superstar athlete, they're going to get a little more grace than the second string, you know, right guard. They just are.
I love that.
So, you know, you have a prima donna, like, Justin Jefferson, he has a few problems. You're going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
So Vic, if she's a 10, see where, see how it plays out, but I would be careful with this.
She may turn into a Kyrie Irving dude where, you know,
I would be careful. Yeah. You know, there is the exception out there where the dog just has to go everywhere, but there are also, people out there, their dog has to go everywhere with them. And there's a reason for that. And we could have some stability issues.
Yeah. We talk in some type of relationship, objective type of relationship. I love my animal more than I need to love my animal kind of thing. What do they call that?
Well, I just maybe some codependency issues.
Yeah.
Maybe some insecurities and maybe not.
And maybe after she goes out with you, Vic, after a period of time and she gets more comfortable with you, she won't need to have that dog around her anymore because she'll start feeling the love from you, or maybe she's bringing it because she does have anxiety issues. For the time being, I would not let it be a deal breaker. Unless, of course, and I would say this, if it starts dictating how your date is going, in other words, if you're taking her out to dinner, that's one way you can do it. It's too hot outside to put your dogs in cars. So if you end up taking her out to a nice dinner next time, and you're like, okay, well, what are we going to do with Fifi? Because she can't stay in the car, and it causes an accident. Then she sits there and says, well, you know what? Bring my dog with me everywhere you go. Why are you picking dinner? Okay. There's a red flag. If she says, oh, well, then we'll just leave the dog at home. You've averted a disaster and you've gotten your way, which is a good thing, but you probably don't want to do that too often because then they'll look like that. First, you're going to be dropping $150 every time you go out to a nice dinner. And second of all, she won't have her animal around her. But I totally agree with you. I think the Jordan Jefferson analogy is perfect. I think because, I mean, she may go 10-3, but you never know when she's going to throw a triple-double at you. So you need to go ahead and let her have her 20-20-10, you know, let her have her night with her dog. And again, if you ever end up going back to her place, you know, and things are all good and the animal's not getting in the way, if you know what I mean, then I think you're probably in good shape. But that was a great question.
It was a good question. And I also think that a lot can be learned by how she interacts with Vic when she's on the date. Is the dog just a sidecar? If the dog's a sidecar, I think you're in good shape. But if the dog is the star of the show, then I think you could have problems. So if Vic has the stage, then I think he could be okay.
There you go. You know, it's interesting because we've had a lot of questions. I've never could understand where people go through breakups, divorces, and they even have it in prenups where, you know, if we break up, I get the dog or you get the dog. I just never looked at an animal. But I guess, you know, as I get closer to my dogs, I understand they're more of a part of the family. I get that. It was easy for us because we had four dogs. She got two, I got two, and we just separated. But if she wanted all four, I was fine with it. I was like, I can always go get another dog. I didn't have a real connection. But now, if she came to get them now, I have an issue with it because we've been through a lot together. How often do you see couples? And I know you've had this wonderful story you've shared with us, and you don't have to do it again about the couple that came in to see you. But how often do you have couples come into your office at Rossbridge Animal Hospital? And you sense the bickering because of an animal. First of all, is it really because of the animal? Are they using the animal as we call it the dirty coffee spoon? Remember, you leave the dirty coffee spoon by the and you're like put the spoon in the dishwasher and you don't do it and you just keep on death by a thousand cuts. Is it the beginning of a divorce that you see coming, or is it just a couple that don't see eye to eye on how they want to treat their animal? How often do you see couples come in and actually bicker over a dog?
Well, first of all,
and how do you deal with it?
Yeah. First of all, it's interesting that we don't, it may be maybe 20% of the time it's a couple will bring the pet in. It's much more common that you just have one of them.
Yeah.
And you know what? The interesting thing is I feel like more people get in arguments about what is going on with the dog than what we're going to do with the dog or cat. So I see the most bickering when you have two people and it'll be like, oh, it started on, you know, the symptoms started on Monday. And the other person said, no, they didn't. I mean, I saw it on Sunday. Because you were out. Mm-hmm. You were out with your friends. Mm-hmm. And I was at home with the dog taking care of it. Yeah, of course, you would think it started on Monday.
Yes.
Because you were gone all day on Sunday while I was dealing with the dog and the kids. So when the bickering starts.
I love that.
When the bickering starts, I just kind of, you know, gently say, hey, no big deal. Sunday or Monday doesn't really matter. I mean, a day difference isn't going to change anything. Now, if you told me it's been going on for 3 months versus 3 days, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
But when we have, and I'll tell you something that also happens a lot these days, is because of technology. Just because the spouse or significant other or even sometimes mom or dad or daughter or whatever, they're not there. They just get them on the phone. But when that happens, I always step out. I just say, all right, if they say, hey, I need to talk to my person about what we're going to do and the things that you're telling me, I say, okay, I'm going to step out of the room, give you some privacy. You can talk whenever you're done. Just open the exam room door and we'll come back in. So a lot of times I'm not there for that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to monetary stuff, if you have, you know, two people in a room that need to make a decision, I lay out their options and you can read the room really quickly. I mean, it's not hard.
Yeah.
If there's any pause at all, I say, okay, look, I'm going to step out. I'm going to give you guys some time to talk about it. It's no big deal. Here's your options. You just, again, open the exam room door when you're done talking. We'll come back in and we'll figure out what we want to do. So, you know, the monetary stuff, I really don't want any part of. If they have questions about it, how much is this going to cost? How much is that going to cost? I'm happy to answer that. But, you know, I want them to make their own decisions based on what I've told them. And I don't want them to feel any guilt or shame if they have decided to not, you know, do the test that cost $200 or $300.
Thank you for bringing that up. And I bring that up because I did that. I love my animals more than anything in the world. I take care of my animals. I know I'm responsible for that. You know, I got into a situation where I got $500, $600, $700 in. And listen, there was all these different tests that we could have done. And so, you know, I called the man in to say, listen, what can we do right now? That is going to suffice to at least, cause I'm obviously I'm not going to let my dog perish, but I'm sure you get hit with, hey, listen, we have just found out that your animal has a growth or we're going to take a biopsy. And then you're talking thousands of dollars. And as a pet owner, I know some people that would take a second job to save their pets. And some would say, you know what? I don't have $4,000 for that. Can you just go through that briefly and how you deal with that?
Well, there's always a treatment option. Whether it's, well, if something's not severe, if a dog is dog or cat is still eating and eating and drinking, then you can just give it time.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, you know, time is a treatment. So if you're not between a rock and a hard place, you can use time as your medicine. But sometimes you can use a medication as a diagnostic tool. Hey, we're going to use this medication. And most of the time, medication, it, relatively speaking, is not very expensive. Let's use this medication. And if the pet gets better, then we've kind of used that as a diagnostic tool. And we know that probably the pet had this because the medication helped.
Yeah.
But the issue becomes when you have an animal that is not doing the things that it needs to do to survive, either short term or long term. It's not eating, it's not drinking, it doesn't have the ability to stand up, doesn't have the ability to urinate or defecate. Those are emergency things. And then at that point, you're kind of left with, you got to run those tests. You got to take that next step and do some diagnostics.
Have you ever had a disagreement on whether you should put a dog down or not? I would imagine that would be incredibly difficult.
So I have not had one in a very long time where I have told the owner no. And I could count on one hand. It may have only happened once or twice in my career where it was just an issue of convenience. You know, someone wanted to euthanize a pet because it wasn't convenient to have them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I draw the line. You know, ethically, I just can't do that.
Sure.
I mean, that's why we have rescue groups, and that's why we have humane societies and all that kind of stuff. But we did have one the other day, and it was a cat. It was a very old cat, 17 years old. And this lady brought the cat in. She had just had a baby. The cat had a heart murmur. It wasn't eating well. And it was peeing all over the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave her the options of running some inexpensive tests to see if maybe the cat had diabetes or urinary tract infection or something. And she opted not to. And she wanted to put the cat down, and we did. And I did not have an issue with it because the cat had lost 3 pounds in a year. The cat had a heart murmur. It was 17. And the cat had health issues that was going to require chronic medication. The cat probably wasn't going to live long. And I really laid it all out there with the owner, and I let her make her decision. Because at the end of the day, pets are property.
Yeah.
And people can decide what they want to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
But and she was very upset. She felt very guilty. And I tried to, you know, talk her away from that as much as possible because she clearly loved her animal. But you know, both her situation and also the cat's health led her to that decision. She had a young child, the cat's walking around, peeing all over the house. That's a health issue, you know, for a toddler that's crawling around.
Yeah.
So it was a tough decision. It was a tough decision for her. But you know, those are decisions we have to make.
He's Dr. Rab Stewart. He owns the wonderful store, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Of course, we also do this show called Dark Side of the Pooch, one of our longest running shows here on TKR. We get great email questions, info@tonycurryradio.net. You can hear the show on every major indice when it comes to podcasts. Certainly watch us right here on our YouTube channel. And we're going to have you on our ABC 3340 show called The Starting Lineup coming up here a little bit later on this summer. So you'll be able to put a face with the voice. He does fantastic work at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301. We got one more question here before I want to get into it. It's kind of interesting. Bobby in Hueytown wants to know, how has AI affected pet ownership? You know, we have these deep fakes right now. And of course we have this election coming up, and now we're taking people's faces and we're putting voices, or in this particular case, maybe a bark or a meow with it. I would think that if you live in a neighborhood like mine, where almost everyone has a pet animal or a dog or a cat, that thievery And to have those pictures with AI, you could do all kinds of suggestive things with the dog's face. I mean, I would think there'd be something you could do with AI that would have to do with some type of pet thing, and none of it's good. But have you had any AI problems with any animals, any artificial intelligence issues?
No AI issues.
What could you see as an issue? I'm trying to think to myself, because AI is touching everything. I'm thinking to myself, what possibly could someone use AI for when it comes to animals?
Well, I can tell you that, from a pet owner standpoint, I haven't seen anything, but from a medical technology, issue, I got an email recently from a really large reference laboratory that a lot of practices use. It's a great laboratory. We don't use it. But what I mean is when you're sending out tests, blood tests, stuff like that, skin tests, this is a diagnostic lab.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got an email recently that they are now offering radiology services, which means reading x-rays. That's part of radiology. You take x-rays, someone looks at them, and in our practice, we look at them.
Yep.
But there's an AI service through this laboratory that you can send your x-rays to.
Huh.
And the AI services will read the x-rays for you and send you the results.
Wow. Okay.
That's so cool. It's very interesting. And I have not done it, and I don't think I ever will, because I'm an old, curmudgeon, or however you pronounce that word. I'm just,
That makes total sense, because much like people use Google, before they go to the doctor, what do they do? They Google, I'm having pains, or I have a spot on my back, or they think they always have the answers. And I always think it's interesting, because you'll always say, if you bring your animal in, don't say a word. Let me look at the dog for 10 or 15 minutes, and I'll be able to tell you what's wrong with your dog before you will be. It's normally your information that ends up throwing me off the sniffing trail. So yeah, that's a great point. That's very interesting. That's another one of those situations. And I mean, again, it's taking work off your load. Obviously, the bedside manner is important. I think this ZocDoc or whatever this thing is, I think that kind of, he's great. He's got a great bedside manner. There's nothing like going and actually seeing a doctor and having them analyze you and look at you and take your test and all those types of things. And I would never say to go to an online doctor, but I think because of COVID and our virility, if you will, through our viral techniques and what we had to do for a couple of years though, I mean, if it's the way you want to go and you can't get out of the house, then so be it.
Man, COVID changed so much. It really changed so much about our culture. It's amazing.
It really did. All right, brother. Hey, listen, enjoy your time away. And please get me some pictures. You don't need to send me anything. I don't want you to even think about telling the bone when you're gone. Make sure you go to the Giggling Marlin. I hope it's still open. Go to Cabo Wabo. Take some pictures. If you see Sammy down there, because he goes down there frequency placement, mm-hmm. make sure you get a pic.
Yeah.
But I hope you have a wonderful time. You deserve it. And we'll catch up when you get back.
Thanks, man. I wore to get your day going right. I wore a little shirt for you.
Oh, there you go. Very nice. Nice.
I got my Some Girl shirt on, one of my favorite albums.
I love it. That's
done.
That sounds good. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right, bud. Talk to you next time.
See you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.